T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is now 9:07 here at WCCO. Welcome to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. Before we jump in, hey now, Timberwolves. I know, babies, it was a struggle, but you got there, didn't you? You got there, and I'm proud of you. We watched, we loved it, we learned. All right, enough of that. Hey, by the way, I got to start by saying thank you so much to Chanhassen Dinner Theaters for presenting us every Sunday night. It really is very special, and we really appreciate it so much. So thank you. Get a chance to go over to Chanhassen Dinner Theaters to see, have you heard about the shows that are going on? Sister Act is happening. It's now running only through February 24th, so that's coming up pretty quickly. They're going to close that. The Wiz is also going on over at the Children's Theater, and it is, if you have not seen this cast, you've got to run over and see it. This is March 21st. It's playing through March 21st. Also, Triple Espresso continues at February, the Ames Center in Burnsville through February 15th. So that's coming up. And Valentine's Day is this week, honey. We're going to tell you all sorts of things about people performing. But before we get to that, you got to listen to this voice. I love this woman's voice. She can really sing. I have to tell you a little bit about Jewel. Her name is Jewel McLaurin, and she's been in the Twin Cities for probably most of your life, right?
All my life. Yes.
All your life?
Yes.
All your life?
All my life.
So where were you born here in the Twin Cities?
Minneapolis, Minnesota, South
well,
Side.
Hey, now.
South Side.
South Side. You have been singing a long time. You and I traveled together to
yes.
the Bahamas to sing together.
So
remember
much
that?
Fun. Yes.
We had a blast. Yes. You are something else. By the way, her husband's in studio. I want you to know this woman can convince anybody to do anything. Honey, if it was snowing outside, she'd still have you tell you, buy some snow. Okay? She can do that. We had a great time. Really interesting,
yes,
wasn't it?
Right.
So here you are. You've come all this way. Mm-hmm. People have been waiting for you to do some new music, mm-hmm. to do an album, and you finally put this one out. What
yes.
took so long?
Oh, my goodness. Time. I think I just had to move in God's time. You know, so many people, as you said, were like, you know, you should have had an album out, you know, in the shoulda, woulda, coulda. It's just like, well, I have to move when he says move.
Right.
You know, and so I just don't think certain situations in my life were set up at that point to be ready to deliver the message. And so I kind of feel like this is my season. So here I am.
Here you are. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the CD.
Well, it's an EP with 4 songs. Mm-hmm. Adrian Davis is the...
A lot of people are doing that, by the
yes,
way.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Adrian Davis is the producer with Divers Music. And so he is the one that wrote the songs, the music and everything. And so, like I said, the song Worship You just talks about just worshiping God, you know, for who he is and loving God for who he is. Thank you, actually. Adrian said he went to my Facebook page and pulled out some of my statuses. It was like, you know, we kind of wrote the song together. I just kind of went through some of your statuses and, you know, you were talking about how, you know, you're doom and gloom on one end, but you still are grateful that God has brought you through. So that's how we kind of came up with thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Ode to Jesus is just a tribute to God. Just, to, you know, we want to say thank you and Lord, we worship you. And we just want to tell you how bomb you are. You're like really, really dope in our lives. And we just want to love on you. And so that's what Ode to Jesus is about.
You have to explain what dope is on this station, honey.
Not drug related.
Right.
It's just exciting and it's just, you know, the bomb.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It really is incredible.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, I've heard you sing. I've said this many times tonight mm-hmm. already. Heard you sing for years. But there was something different in your voice this time.
Yeah.
Your experiences along this journey has changed you in some mm-hmm. way. Tell us about that.
You know, I think so many people put you in a box as a singer. And so when my music came out, you know, some people were kind of waiting for that to come out. And it's like
the screaming,
the
gospel singer that screams.
Yeah. That holds mm-hmm. my ear and I'm just going in. Well, I can do that. I still have that in my toolbox, you know, but I think I wanted this album just to show Jewel the artist, you know, and right now people are hurting in the world. And so when they listen to gospel music, they should be able to understand what's being said. You know, right. So I just wanted just to sing. I didn't want to put on a whole bunch of acrobats, you know, vocally. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to sing.
So it's more of a worship CD.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
In doing that, do you say on this journey, this time is worship, what happens the next time?
I think the next time we're going to pull out all stops. You know, and I think each song is going to cater to everybody. You know, there's going to be some Jewel, the singer, the squaller mm-hmm. in there. And then the worship part, you know, just, you know, all inclusive, just to kind of hit all the targets, mm-hmm. you know, but it's going to be Jewel uncut.
You had a need to do this. Not only were people pushing you, but you were pushing yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it difficult?
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes. Oh, Lord. Okay. Super difficult. You know, you're a steal. So y'all got like 1,000 songs out and everything else, and you've been doing this for a very, very long time. Whereas, you know, I was kind of hard. I'm very, very hard on myself, you know, and so some of the pressure of, you know, other people saying what you should do, you need to be doing this, that kind of got to me, mm-hmm. You know, and I don't try to compete with other singers, mm-hmm. you know, but there was even a season, if you will, that I was just like, I shouldn't even put no music out. I can't sing like so-and-so. I don't minister like so-and-so, you know, but God was like, no, you don't. So put your CD out,
right.
You know, and so he confirmed it, and, you know, I gave my my idea to Adrian, mm-hmm. and he moved quick, you know, and he's a great producer. He's a great friend, and he moved quick with my ideas, and we just got it done.
So I love some of the songs that you have on this four-song
yep.
E-Play, Extra Play,
yep.
and it's available on all of the,
all
I mean, you can
major
get it on Spotify
yep.
Tidal, all of them,
yep.
Apple Music,
Deezer, Amazon, Google Play.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So all you have to do is spell your last name for people. It's Jewel.
Yes, J-E-W-E-L, McLaurin, M-C, capital L, A-U-R-I-N.
So when you get that first award?
Yeah.
Will you come back on?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's the way it is. You see how that works? You see how that works? It's because we know each other, folks.
Yes.
It is now 9:13. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back in just a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. You just got to know about it, and there's so much going on, and we're so grateful that we have the chance to bring it all to you. Thanks to Chanhassen Dinner Theaters. The first show I want to tell you about, though, is that my family and I are performing for Valentine's Day. If you want more information, go to croonersloungemn.com. You don't want to miss that show because we are having a blast. All right. Did you hear about the humans coming in town? Did you not hear about that? It is coming to the Orpheum Theater. Now, you know how well Hennepin Theater does, right? They really know how to bring a show in town. It's something completely different from time to time. Now, The Humans is critically acclaimed. If you don't know anything about this particular show, it's four Tony Award winners. It's the best play of the year. They're saying that this is the play. If there's any play you should see, this is it. It opens February 13th through the 18th, and we are fortunate enough to get one of the critical, the key characters of the piece. She plays the role of Momo. Her name is Lauren, and Lauren is joining us. Her name is Lauren Klein. Welcome to WCCO, Lauren.
Thank you very much.
Glad to have you. And as the grandmother, you really play an integral role because I know you have Alzheimer's in this particular piece. How did you handle that role?
Well, I had to figure out what would be the best way to bring it forth. Actually, it's dementia, which is very similar. I don't know what the differences are, but they're very similar as diseases go. I looked at a lot of pictures and tapes and YouTubes of people with dementia, and each time my director, Joe Mantello, said, no, no, too much, too much. I want less, I want less. And I finally started watching babies on trains and buses, and I discovered that the newness and the emptiness, the clean slate, that babies I think, experience, that way of perceiving the world was a very good key for me to get into this character.
Very interesting. Really quite remarkable, because it's true. They can really, you know, keep your attention for a moment, and then they're off to something new as though the world just started again. So that's
right.
Really remarkable. Well done. Okay, in order to play this piece, of course, it's only 95 minutes straight through, but they call it dark, humorous, and revealing. What has it revealed and unfolded for you?
Well, I don't know that I can really answer that question. I think that what we have with this piece is a very unique text that I don't know that anyone has experienced before. The young playwright, Stephen Karam, wrote a piece that really encapsulates and mimics the way we all talk to each other and over each other and through each other. It's not a classic theatrical piece. It really sounds like real people in normal life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's very, very special. What he did was he created a very funny play with a very strong and deep underbelly of, I would say, abiding sadness, which is much like what our lives are like today. Maybe they've always been that way, but it's a really unique and recognizable voice.
Mm-hmm.
And what's remarkable to me is that he did it at before he reached 35.
Oh, that's remarkable.
It's a really very special piece. I feel that my feeling in my experience with this play is that the play is the star in this venue. The piece itself invites you to decide what it means.
Mm-hmm.
That every single person that watches it has their own internal relationship with it.
Mm-hmm.
And figures out what it means to them. It sounds a little obscure, but it's quite a wonderful, I think, a wonderful theater experience.
I think so, too. And by the way, Lauren, for me, excuse me for interrupting, but I want to get this in. I didn't know much about The Humans. I'd heard about it with the Tony Awards. And so I kind of went online and read a lot about it. I went to Wikipedia and all these other sites to source it. But it was the trailer that made sense to me. And in the trailer, when you say it's about the play, it really is. It's about everything in the room. Everything in the room matters for this particular piece. And I think that really spoke to me. That piqued my interest.
Uh-huh.
So that's been great to know. And I think if people come see it, they will understand exactly what you know by saying that this is all about the play.
I think so. And I think that it's a great surprise to people. They don't know what they're coming to. They're not really sure. My experience of playing it, because I played it for the year and a half on Broadway, and now I'm out on the tour with it. And so far we've been to Washington, D.C., to the Kennedy Center. And we finished at the Cadillac Palace Theater in Chicago, and then we're coming to your city tomorrow.
That's right.
I see that people are very excited by it. They're surprised. And they're delighted by it, and at the same time they're deeply touched.
Mm. This is a difficult time.
What more can you ask for?
I know, exactly. And this is a difficult time. We all need something that's going to touch us, something
oh,
that's
man,
going to move
it's
us.
A very difficult time.
You know, it's
that's
difficult
right.
time. So, do you feel like this has a lot to speak to as far as moving up and forward?
I do. I think that it does, and I think that it has a lot to speak to what our fears are now. And what many people are experiencing as reality now. A lot of people are having rough times now, whether it's the rough times that they feel individually as in their economics, or whether it's the situation that the country is in right now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has some dark fears and issues, and we want to be taken out of it. And in a way, you are taken out of it with this play, because you laugh at so much of what it is that gets us, you know. And that's just a remarkable thing about this piece of text. it's just it's a gift.
Well, I want you to know
it's really a gift,
and we need that gift that you have to bring for us. So you land in the Twin Cities tomorrow. The show opens on the 13th. It only goes through the 18th, and I'm going to do my best to get there. My mom is in the hospital right now, but she's doing well. But I'm going to do my best to get there. It really piqued my interest to know that it's one of those, you know, humorous, revealing but dark kind of pieces. So
yeah, there is a dark a center to it, but there's also a lot of faith. Faith is a very large part of what this text is about.
Right, because it has something to do with the daughters or something leaving their religion, and it's really interesting.
It has a parents that are deeply religious, and their children are more modern and poo poo it a little bit, but the I think that the playwright is deeply affected by his own spirituality.
Mm-hmm. As so many of us are.
Yes.
Lauren, I wish I could keep you on longer. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you. We welcome you to the Twin Cities. Thank you. And I do want to invite whoever is listening in the audience, please do come and see it. I don't think you'll be sorry.
Thank you.
You'll be very glad.
You have a great evening, Lauren.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And again, the play is called The Humans. It is only through February 13th through the 18th at the Orpheum Theater. If you have more questions, just go to HennepinTheaterTrust.org. We'll be back in a moment. Now, you know what time it is when you hear Center Stage, and it's time for the lead theater critic over at the Star Tribune, Rohan Preston. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. You had a chance to go over to the History Theater, who presents pieces that have something to do with Minnesota history, and this is called A Crack in the Sky. Tell us about it.
Well, this is a show that actually is a lot more than a show. It's a show about a shepherd boy from Somalia, his journey to Minnesota. And what's interesting about this is that it has a new actor, someone who's new to the stage, essentially making his professional debut, has a lot of talented Twin Cities professional actors as well, like Tracy Maloney. It has Jacoby Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
But more than that, it's the first show of its type that I've seen addressing Somali history. It uses folk tales. It uses music. It uses contemporary stuff. And about this young man, it's an autobiographical piece, his journey as he goes to college. He drops out of school at 9. He becomes a shepherd, blah, blah, blah. He goes to college here, eventually in the U.S., and he's starving for weeks. His professors buy him groceries.
Wow.
It's actually quite a phenomenal story. And it's really, really well told. My daughter was with me, and I was thinking about it afterwards, and she's buzzing about how amazing it is, and she's like, "You must not like it." I said, "No, I'm just thinking about it."
Yeah, right. Well, that's the whole thing. Theater starts conversations. I love that about it. Let's go on to Joy Rebel, which is playing over at the Penumbra Theater. And this is another kind of unique story.
It is. It's Kenesha Foster is she's a California-based artist, originally from Evanston, and she's doing a piece about her life. She's biracial. She identifies as both Black and white, and the world sees her often as Latino, Hispanic. So she deals with that. Her life story is really one of going through really horrible stuff. Her parents are both drug addicts. And one was a Black Panther and the other, they both got addicted to opioids. Mm-hmm. And so she talks about that in the piece. And what's special about this piece, what's remarkable is that this is not a piece about pity. It's just matter of fact. And as a performer, you would never know any of that stuff, that she performs it with passion and with empathy, but not with any sense that, look at me, I need your sympathies. Yeah. It's not any of that.
You know, I've often wondered how actors who write plays about their lives, like Jovita, you know, with two queens, one castle.
Yeah.
You know, where does the acting begin and the truth ever ends? Because it really doesn't. And it really it takes something to act out your life, your story. That's not an easy thing to do, considering what she's been through.
Exactly. And what's even more challenging is to have to relive it on stage night after night. And to revisit that place. I have to applaud the actors, obviously, for doing that. I remembered thinking about that when the Guthrie did a piece. There was a solo piece at the Guthrie by a woman who lost her family member and cared for the family member at the end of life, and then to do this 8 nights a week.
Incredible. Incredible. And she, you know, to know this, Jovita, it would always say it really strengthened her, you know, as painful as it was. When the night was over, you know, she did that song, you know, Raising Up Slowly. And that's exactly how she felt. She's moving past it. She's growing up past it. And to know that she's telling this incredible story over at Penumbra Theater, I can imagine how she really captures it, because there's nothing like the authentic self telling that story. So,
exactly.
well done to Kenesha. And that is open for how long? Do you know?
That goes, I think, through this weekend. It's part of the Claude Purdy Festival of experimental solo works.
That's through next Sunday, through the 18th.
Yes.
So you got a week to see it.
Through this weekend.
Excellent.
You know, and the other one, and it, Roger Gwynver Smith was Frederick Douglass's piece was a part of that as well. And it's a really nice festival. I like being able to, you know, just like sit there and sort of take in the talents of a performer. When you do a solo show, it often becomes by default a grab bag of all your tricks, as it were. You
exactly.
know, and for someone who's in LA, I'm told LA's the theater scene there is often essentially an audition for film or TV.
Yeah.
But
so this is my last question for you. Yes. Was she able to become several characters, or did she just tell the story, act out the story?
She assumed the characters.
Wow.
Yeah,
incredible.
Yeah, she did. She
even
definitely.
The grandmother who disapproved of the marriage of her parents?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. No kidding.
We get, I mean, it's in snippets. It's not sustained, but you get the voices, and the voices in her head becoming real on stage.
Mm. All right, and the set design looks like there really wasn't much of it, but it was powerful enough.
Well, and because you don't want to clutter that stuff up.
Exactly.
You know,
Pay attention. There's a story to be told. Pay attention. Thanks so much for joining us tonight, Rohan. We sure appreciate it, man. You take care of yourself.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. There's a lot going on. Let me tell you about one more. Before we have to take a break, I want to tell you about one more group that's coming to town, the Commodores, Friday at Mystic Lake Casino, one of my favorites, the Commodores. So if you get a chance, run over there and check it out. Again, the Steels are performing this Wednesday at Crooner's Supper Club. Those that were told, because we thought we were doing one on Thursday as well, but that's been moved to March 22nd. So please be aware that there are very few tickets left for the February 14th, but there are still some available, actually side by side. So if you get a chance, go to Crooner's Lounge MN.com. All right, we're going to take a break, do some weather, and come back in just a moment. It is now 9:37 here at WCCO. Welcome back to Center Stage. All things arts and entertainment, we just believe you ought to know about it. Just want to see again that the Timberwolves won tonight. Enough said. All right, my next guest is in studio with me. She's absolutely lovely. She walked in and something changed. You ever met someone whose spirit walks in the room and you know something's different? Her name is Tova Felshoe. And I tell you, she has an amazing resume. She's an American actress, singer, and playwright, and she has been a Broadway star for more than four decades, earning four Tony Award nominations. She has also received two Emmy Award nominations for Holocaust and Law and Order, and appeared in films like A Walk on the Moon and Kissing Jessica Stein. She's had a role in The Walking Dead, and that's just a portion of her bio, her remarkable collection of body of work. Now, she's joining me tonight in studio, starring in a piece called Walking with Giants at the Illusion Theater. Tova, welcome to WCCO.
Thank you, Geraldine. Wonderful to be here and to listen to your beautiful program from the Green Room. I had a great time.
Thank you very much. As you hear your resume read, did you ever expect that to be yours?
No, I didn't. I was a McKnight Fellow at the Guthrie Theater. That's how I started my career, and I carried spears and understudied the size 7 leading ladies. In those days, an understudy didn't have your own costume. You had the costume of your leading lady, should she, God forbid, get sick. None of mine did. I never went on, but I figured I'd be a spear carrier for the rest of my career. I didn't realize it. Going to New York, you know, change your place, change your life. Going to New York would change my luck tremendously, and I came in with Chris Plummer from the Guthrie in Cyrano. I had 14 lines in a red dress. And 18 months later, I had my first Forgive Me starring role on Broadway in a play called Yentl by Isaac Bishev, a singer which Barbara Streisand would make a movie of.
Absolutely. You know, what role did you play in Yentl?
Yentl.
The starring role.
I like to play Yentl. You know,
I could write an autobiography. So they had to put a lot of makeup on you to do that.
I could do an autobiography. Yentl was a woman who had to disguise herself as an Orthodox Jewish boy in order to study Talmud, Torah, Kabbalah, and now I'm playing Yussel. I'm actually playing a man. If I ever write an autobiography, the title will be From Yentl to Yussel.
That's a great title, by the way.
Thank you.
So many of us. I remember being a teenager, I believe, when I saw that particular play, that movie that Barbara Streisand was in, and I thought to myself, has this really happened? Have people really had to become someone else just to be who they really want to be?
In those days, yes, and particularly with any fundamentalist group from whatever religion, the women tend to be put away, put underneath, put under chadors, put behind barriers, supposedly for protection. But fundamentalism and women's rights have not been bed partners.
Right. Although I do not know you, I sense that you are not one to be put away.
I am not.
So how apropos for you to play in those roles, right?
Yes, I was very lucky. I got to play Golda Meir, the Prime Minister of Israel,
and I'm about to
play the President of the United States for CBS on a new series called Salvation.
That's amazing.
A woman president. My catchphrase for that is, it takes an asteroid headed for Washington, D.C., for the nation to consider that maybe putting a woman in the White House might have been a good idea.
Right. Oh, my God. Don't get me started on that.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about Walking with Giants at the Illusion Theater.
My sweetheart, it's Dancing with Giants.
Oh, it is Dancing with Giants.
It's not your fault. It was written for you wrong and not by me, Mommy. Not by me. Dancing with Giants is a play that my incredible older brother, a PhD, MD, I call him Dr. David Felchew. Mother called him God.
I've got a brother like that.
I know. The older Phi Beta Kappa sibling. Anyway, he wrote a play about friendship, and it's a quatrologue, if you will, between four characters. Max Schmeling, who was an historical German boxer who won the heavyweight championship of the world, while he was being managed by a Jewish-American manager from Hell's Kitchen named Yussel Jacobs, Joe Jacobs. But the Yiddish name for Joe is Yussel. That's the part I play. And their relationship with Joe Louis, the heavyweight champion, who would become the heavyweight champion of the world. And the relationship between Joe Louis and Max Schmeling, between a person who was stuck in Nazi Germany and who was white, and our first black breakthrough with Jesse Owens. I mean, before Jackie Robinson was Joe Louis.
That's right.
Was Joe Louis. And Max Schmeling, in fact, paid for Joe Louis's funeral at the end.
No kidding?
They remained great, great friends, great comrades. So it's we deal with Joseph Goebbels, who became the head of publicity for the Third Reich, for Hitler, and his relationship with the Schmeling family. He had an eye for the ladies and loved Schmeling's wife, literally loved his wife. His wife was a movie star named Annie, and he went after many women, but one of them was Schmeling's wife, so there was a lot of tension there. Schmeling coming to America to compete for the heavyweight championship and winning it, not against Joe Louis, but against a guy named Joe Sharkey, and then coming back and winning in the United States against Joe Louis. He actually was the one knockout punch. Joe Louis was 23-0 till he met Max Schmeling, and he lost a fight to Max Schmeling. And then they would do a recap of their fight, and Joe Louis would reclaim the heavyweight championship. So it's a story about friendship that goes beyond racial and national boundaries and a story that fights fascism.
Mm-hmm.
And when my brother wrote this piece, he had no idea that the country would be turned on its head from this new administration. And no matter what your political affiliation is, and I'm sure it's not particularly marvelously politically correct to talk this way, but no matter what your political affiliation is, you must admit that our government has turned on its head,
mm-hmm.
and that we have a president who doesn't fully understand what it really means to be presidential, to be the voice of unity and calm and integrity and morality for the United States.
We have lost civility, right? And knowing that we don't know anymore, it seems, how to treat one another, that's the one thing about theater that I love. It opens that conversation to have us recreate or at least relive through various stories.
That's right.
A different time to say, oh, my gosh, there was decorum. There was, you know, a proper way to live,
yeah.
a proper way to get along. Tolerance, that sort of thing. And so knowing that we're living, just as you just talked about, with the government on its head, I love that this a piece like this can come forward.
This piece is beautiful. It's original. It's a world premiere. So it's a really a work in progress. We still rehearse even though we've opened. It's the first time in my career, which is over 40 years mm-hmm. long, that I've ever played a man. I mean, I'm not a woman playing a man. I'm playing a man. I mean, get the athletic socks, ball them up, and put them between my legs, Geraldine.
Wow. And what have you learned from that, actually playing a man?
I've had to study. I've had to study documentaries, first of all, on Hitler. There's a cabaret scene where inside the cabaret itself I play a fascist. And so I had to study his body movements. I had to study what it means to be a man, what it means to sit down when you have a different organ between your legs. It's a thrill. And also, one thing about the country, regardless of the government, we've become much more liberal about people's different sexual proclivities and who they want to be and what their identity is. I mean, the idea of switching gender when I was born was almost unheard of.
Unheard of.
It was unheard of. And
they kept it quiet.
They kept it quiet.
It's not that it didn't exist.
It did. Yeah. You're absolutely right. It did.
Mm.
Christine Jurgensen or whatever. And now it is there is a place for everyone. At least I hope so. This play is extraordinarily dynamic. I get to dance in it. It's at the Illusion Theater. It's right downtown at 6th and Hennepin. And we'd love to have you come. I mean, it is a world premiere. And all my Walking Dead fans, Deanna Monroe is playing Yussel the Muscle Jacob. So come on. I do everything but get bitten.
Exactly. If you want tickets, all you have to do is go to the box office. That's 612-339-4944. Again, that's 612-339-4944. Or just go to illusiontheater.org with a T-E-R at the end, illusiontheater.org. What a pleasure having you in studio, Tova. Thank you so much for stopping in.
Wonderful to be here.
And I don't know how you can bring those characters forward when you know that there's been so much pain in the Jewish community from so many things that you may be talking about or visiting on that stage, but you
know,
are strong.
It's a part of a lifetime, and the greater the transformation is asked of an actor, the greater congratulations they get if they can achieve it. So if I am able to embody this man who was an optimist, he never gave up. A lot of him was based on our father, Sidney Felch, who made a silk purse out of a sow's ear. He just was an unbridled optimist. If I can do that, think what you can do. And we're on a short run. You know, we end February 24th, so I welcome everybody to the Illusion Theater. It's a gorgeous space.
It is a gorgeous space. My family and I have performed there many times.
I know.
And I tell you, it's a great space. It has a great spirit in it, just like you have. So.
I'm also working with a great cast with Sam Bardwell, James Cunningham, Ricky Morisseau, and, of course, my beloved brother, David Felsch.
And
directing.
He wrote this piece.
He wrote it and he directed it. And the truth is, I'd do anything for him. And this is a worthy journey that I took. Not just on his behalf, but on behalf of the core of why I became an actor, which is to transform and tell stories worth telling.
40 years in the business, and you have done a remarkable job with your life, your love, and your passion. Congratulations. It's not over, honey. You got a long way to go.
Thank you. I
All
hope
right.
so.
Tova Felsch, in studio here at WCCO. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It is now 9:50 here at WCCO. Welcome back to Center Stage. All things arts and entertainment, we just believe you ought to know about it. I want to let you know that Dancing with Giants, it was absolutely wrong. It was absolutely right. I wrote down, and the producer wrote down, Walking with Giants. So I want to make sure you know that the play that we were just talking about that sounds absolutely remarkable, it again is called Dancing with Giants. There's even a little bit of dancing in the show. If you want more information, again, go to 612-339-4944. All right, our final interview tonight is with Peter Moore. You know him, you love him. Director Peter Moore has brought the highly acclaimed national touring production of Mitch Albom's Tuesdays with Maury. He's brought it home to the Sabres, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Sabres JCC in St. Louis Park for a 3-week run that began on Thursday. Welcome back to WCCO, Peter.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Isn't it Sabres JCC?
Say it again.
Sabres or Sabes?
Sabes.
Sabes. I had it all wrong. You know, I've had a chance to see a couple of pieces there, and I never get it right when I interview, so forgive me.
That's all right. Everybody will forgive you for that.
Thank you. Well, this is based on the best-selling book by Mitch Albom and adapted by the stage, and renowned playwright and screenwriter Jeffrey Hatcher also. Tuesdays with Maury, we know that name. Tell us more about the piece.
Oh, it's just terrific. It's about this guy, this Mitch Albom, who was a sports writer, still is a sports writer, and he had a favorite professor in college that he was really close to and then didn't stay in touch with him. And after he left school, and about 16 years later, he saw him on the Ted Koppel show on Nightline. He had ALS, and he was talking about getting prepared to die. And Mitch Albom got back in touch with this guy and thought he was just going to go visit for, you know, one time to say hello, and ended up going to see him every week until the guy finally passed away. Maury finally passed away. And the result was this remarkable book that he wrote about how much he learned from Maury and how full his life was. And Jeff Hatcher, who's just a local whiz kid, has just turned the book into this great play that's so funny and very touching. And it's just a delight. We've just had the best time doing it. And I'm really excited to bring it to Minneapolis to have people see it.
Now, isn't it true that you actually were supposed to star in the show?
I was. It's just a two-character play. And I was going to be in it playing opposite Jamie Farr from MASH.
Oh, remember wow. Him? Yes.
Yeah, he played Klinger, the cross-dresser.
I know. Oh, my gosh.
And we were rehearsing and all of that. And then the director, who was Canadian, couldn't get a work visa, so he couldn't do the show, and Jamie Farr wouldn't do the show without that director, so the whole thing fell apart. And then a couple days later, the producer came back to me and said, well, a couple of the venues still want it, even without Jamie Farr, so could you direct it? And I said, sure. And we took it to Florida and New York and Connecticut, and people just loved it. And we were originally scheduled to play in Minneapolis, but when we got back, I thought, I want people here to see this. And it turned out the JCC had in St. Louis Park had space free for 3 weeks. So we rented the space and we put the show up there. And this first weekend went really well. And people have just loved it. I'm just thrilled. I really am.
You should be. That is really, it says here in the program note, like a phoenix. The show arises again. You know, that's amazing.
Exactly.
Okay, so tell us about the set design for this particular piece and how it complements what is happening.
Well, it was designed to go on tour, of course, so it has to kind of fall apart a little bit. It has to be able to be taken quickly apart. It's very simple. In his stage directions, Jeff Hatcher said, keep all of the set elements very simple. So it's basically just the back wall of the living room of Maury's house. Lots of bookshelves, the way you would expect from a professor. And it's beautifully lit by a local designer named Scott Herbst. It's just terrific. And it fits very nicely onto the JCC stage. And it's a very comfortable spot. It's not a terribly big theater, and it's a really nice funny, intimate play. It's kind of the perfect spot for it.
How about that? Because that's not easy to do when you're touring, to make sure that the venue fits
what
you need it, to go in there.
We've been playing in Ogdensburg, New York. We played in this, I think it was a 900-seat hall, and people loved it. But I thought the hall was a little big for this lovely small play. So it's great to be in the St. Louis Park JCC, and it's a perfect fit.
Well, congratulations on this. Now, the tickets are only $20. You've made it affordable. People can get tickets by calling 800-838-3006 or just go to brownpapertickets.com. Again, that's brownpapertickets.com. Can they
Or just show up at the door. We'll always have a seat for you.
Oh, how about that? I hope you're having the time of your life doing this.
Oh, we are. It's just wonderful. And thanks for chatting with me about it. It's exciting to get the word out to everybody, because I think this is something people would really love.
I think you're right. Thank you so much, Peter. Thank you for joining us. All right. Take care.
Talk to you later.
Now, that's Director Peter Mora. I just want to make sure you know, again, it's called Tuesdays with Maury. This is happening right over at the Sabes JCC in St. Louis Park for a three-week run that began on Thursday. So this is based on the best-selling book by Mitch Albom. So go and check it out. Tuesdays with Maury. Just go to brownpapertickets.com, or you can go to Sabes. That's S-A-B-E-S JCC. It's really pronounced Sabes, but Sabes J Sabes. Come on, stop correcting me, Jonathan. SabesJCC.org. We're going to come back in just a moment with the Mom and Michael Hour, all the way from Los Angeles. We'll be back in a moment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.